Now, our pastor has mentioned something, and it's caused me, after all of these years of doing things and having devotions, what he has mentioned has caused me to do as he does, and that is, he said he always begins his morning time with God, whether you call it daily devotions or you just call it your prayer time or Bible time or whatever it's called. He said he begins it with thanksgiving. And I found that I many times in praying I'm giving thanks to God, but I like that idea of starting it with thanksgiving. It says here, in everything, so there isn't any subject, there isn't any experience that you face, it doesn't have to just be big things, anything that you face, he tells us there, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, a thankful heart, an attitude of thankfulness is a good thing. And to begin prayer time thanking God, you could take your whole prayer time just thanking Him, and you begin to think of everything in your life and about your life. But I found it a good practice to adopt. He says there, everything by prayer and supplication. Now, Pastor, I'm going to call on you, because I've heard you explain the distinction between prayer and supplication. Everything by prayer and supplication. Because there's a sense in which you might think of them as, you know, two sides of, and I guess they would be considered two sides of the same coin. But the distinction that's there, because God use that verse. Now, I went and I looked and I found different, went online and found different explanations of the distinction between prayer and supplication. And I thought, man, I should have written down what Pastor said because I liked it better. So, Pastor, if you'll just take some
very
time.
Briefly, if you go into a court of law and you ask the judge for something, it's called a prayer to the court. You're just asking for something. That's all that means. Mm-hmm. It's talking with God. Supplication is to beg and really entreat. Mm. Child comes up, Mommy, can I have a cookie? No. Oh, Mama, please.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference. The first one was prayer. The second one was supplication.
Okay. All right. Now, why couldn't I remember that? I have no idea. But thank you for that explanation, because there's obviously a distinction. God isn't just, sometimes he'll repeat things for emphasis. But in this case, using the different word, we know we've got a difference there. And it says, let your requests be made known unto God. The things that you would desire, that you would have from him, and more specifically that you need from him. Well, let's go into it. P is for prevailing. Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to read here just one verse from Genesis chapter 32 and verse 28. Now, the context of this verse is when Jacob was wrestling with an angel at Peniel. Now, it turns out he asked the angel's name, and the angel said, what's it matter? Why do you ask me your name? And then he goes on and he says, from now on, your name is not going to be Jacob, but it's going to be Israel. And so when you read in the Bible, Jacob and Israel, you're reading about the same individual. But in verse, and then it turns out that angel was indeed the Lord who had come down. Remember, angels in the Bible don't have wings. Cherubim, okay, they have wings, but not when it talks about an angel. you're talking about a man, okay? An angelic being that comes in the form of a man. And there's times that God, in Jesus, did that. And that this is one of them. Now there in verse 28, he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." As a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. When we think of the matter of prayer, there needs to be a prevailing. Just like Jacob, in this case, did wrestle with God, there it can be descriptive of us in prayer. And I like the idea here of the first verse that we used as a foundation. Let by everything, by prayer and supplication. The supplication is the wrestling kind of prayer. A supplication and the prevailing. Prevailing means to overcome. Prevailing means to succeed. And in this case, Jacob prevailed over the angel and received from God what he needed. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and again, if looking at many verses, if you're not comfortable finding them, then just listen, and you can look them up later. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now, don't confuse this boldly with brazenness. Okay, many times a person will be bold, but they're brazen. That's not what it's talking about. Confidently, okay, it would carry with it the kind of prevailing that Jacob did in wrestling with the Lord. And as we come to God and have something that we're praying for, something that we need, and it's as if we were wrestling with God, and we're not wanting to let go of him until we get what we need. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, that just doesn't sound right to wrestle with God. Well, he says, boldly come to the throne. He didn't say gently and mildly and sweetly. He said, boldly come. In other words, we can have confidence. And we can come to God and we can ask God for things. Now, again, you know, boldly doesn't carry with it the idea of being brazen and demand. I remember hearing many years ago a TV preacher talking about you can demand from God what you want. Oh no, that's a wrong attitude. That's not what boldly means. That's not what prevailing in prayer means, to demand from God. We can't demand anything of God. We can plead with God. We can prevail with him, but we cannot demand. There's times when we must prevail, like Jacob did with the Lord. God does things when we persistently pray to him and ask him. Now, that's not nagging. I had one fellow say one time, well, you know, God doesn't have a bad memory. You just have to ask him once and he'll remember it. Well, that sounded so noble, but it's so wrong.
That's right.
Okay? Because he tells us that we are to become boldly before, confidently before. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. And this is a well-known scripture when it comes to this matter of prayer. In Matthew 7 and verse 7. He says, Jesus is teaching, and he says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now, you see the progression. There's some things you ask for, and God gives it. But then there's other things that you have got to seek for. It's not something that God's going to give you just immediately, quickly. And so you need to seek for it. And then there's some things that in order to prevail with God, you must knock. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you'll find it. Knock, and it'll be opened unto you. And so this matter prevailing, it's not nagging God. We have several examples where Jesus gave a teaching about a man who was in bed, and a friend came along traveling, and he came to the house, and he knocked on the door, and the man said, "I'm already in bed. Everybody's buttoned up for the night." And the man knocking at the door said, "But I don't have any bread, and I need some. And he kept knocking. And the end of that story is that God commended him for being persistent.
Amen. Good.
You see, I don't want to nag God. Get that idea out of your head.
Right.
It's not nagging God. If you have something that you know you need, and God, well, why doesn't God just give it? Because he's trying to achieve something in us. And he wants us to accomplish more than just getting our answer. You see, when we keep praying, it's evidence of faith. We believe God can do this. We believe that we need this. And so it's an evidence of faith. It's an evidence that we believe that only God can answer it. And an evidence that we really need it. Somebody comes to you and asks for something, and you're not able right away to give it to them. And they never ask again. And you know, now you've become able to give it to them, but they don't ask again. Oh, well, must be, maybe it was met, or must be they don't really need it. So, you know, well, can we take that human way of understanding and apply it to God? That when we ask, seek, and knock, it's evidence of our dependence on him. And that we really need it, and we really mean it. Okay? I love seeing the children around the church. And you'll see them run up and ask their mom or dad something. And mom or dad are talking or doing something else. And so they don't pay any attention to them. Sometimes a child will come back and ask again. But a lot of times they just go off and, you know, whatever it was, it's over now. Well, how much did they really need it? But you see, a child, when they keep coming back. Now, this is something they really, in their mind at least, they really need this. They really want this. They keep coming back about it. And, you know, that makes me think of a TV commercial. I forget what the product is for, but it shows a little boy about 4 years old, and he's standing in the bathroom, and he's trying to get his belt open, and the belt buckle won't open. And he said, "Mom, Mom, I need you. Mom, we got a situation here." I love that commercial. God. Okay, God doesn't answer right away. Well, that little boy, if he had just called once, okay, and mom, you know, no problem. So ask, seek, and knock. Persistent praying. All right, let's move from the P onto the R, where in requesting, ask and it shall be given you. Okay? Prayer, as Pastor described, making a request to God. And some Christians, not all, but some Christians fail to pray as they should until trouble strikes.
Uh-huh.
You see, we ought to have as a practice praying. Now, I was going to say as a habit, but you know, prayer needs to be more than just... Now, you can take this thing and go crazy with it, but I'm making a distinction between having a habit and requesting something. Because if it's a habit, you know, anything can be learned as a habit. I think it's just 7 times. If you do it 7 times, then it'll become a habit. But what happens if you don't do it for 7 times? Do you lose the habit? And some people do. And so that's why I'm making a distinction. You don't want to really drive that too far. But we need to come to God and make requests regularly and not wait until trouble strikes. It was Wednesday night, I think, I talked about so many people have the idea of God and prayer just like a bellhop. And when I said that, I realized, you know, for sure the children and maybe even some others don't know what a bellhop is. You go to a big fancy hotel, the kind that we don't usually stay in, okay? And they have a doorman, and he not only opens a door for you, but if you need help with your bags, he'll call a man who, and they may not call them bellhops anymore. They may have another term for it because we're changing all terms today. But this is the person who their job is to come and carry your bags. They're picking up your burden. They carry your bags to your room. Well, that's how some people treat prayer and God. They don't go to God in prayer until they have trouble, and then they expect God to come and pick up their burden and carry it to a solution. Okay. And then once he's gotten them through the thing, then he can go and stand on the side until they need him again. And obviously that's a wrong view of prayer and God, but it's one that too many have. We must pray often, we must ask faithfully, and we must be patient for his answer. So we prevail in prayer, we request, and then we move into another area of praying, and these are all interconnected, and that is accepting. Accepting. We must accept what God gives as an answer. Now, there is a problem, because too many times we have in our mind what the solution for our situation would be. We have in our mind what kind of answer is necessary. But God is not limited to our options. And he knows what is best. And we must be open to accepting. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 22. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, if that were the only verse about prayer, it would give the impression that anything you want, you can ask for, and you're going to get it. Well, obviously, we know it doesn't work that way, because there's other Bible verses involving the subject of prayer. We must pray according to God's will. Okay, we have a need. Now what we're praying for to meet that need would have to fit with God's will. And Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion, he prayed to the Father, let this cup, the experience of the cross, pass from me. And then Jesus ended that prayer. Now Jesus knew he had to go to the cross. But in his humanity, he did not want to accept that experience. And so, what do we have there? We have an example of how you and I are. We see certain things in what God wants, and we don't want to accept that. But we know in spirit, his way is best. And so what did Jesus end that experience with? Nevertheless, thy will be done.
Amen.
You say, nevertheless, thy will be done. So we need to accept what God has by way of an answer. And there's times where we need to maybe just pray, Lord, help me to be willing to accept yours. And another one I've heard again many years ago, everything is many years ago at this point, but faith is believing God will, not just that he can. Okay? Pray believing, pray in faith. Not just that he can do this, but that he will do it. Now that's when we leave it up to God, okay? Then we can truly live believing he will do it. He will do what he knows is best. And so when we go to God in prayer, we must include the attitude. It may not include the actual word, but we need to have the attitude, nevertheless, thy will be done, accepting his answer and not limiting him to our observation and insight on something. And it's hard to make that distinction, because just like Jesus in his humanity said, let this cup pass. So we in our humanity, we have a limited view of whatever the condition or situation is that we're dealing with. And therefore, to look beyond our view, we just can't picture it. But we need to, in heart and mind, do that. And then the letter Y, P-R-A-Y, and that is to yield. And that is, to a great extent, an extension of accepting God's will. Not my will, but thine be done, is what Jesus prayed. Accepting his answer. And if his answer is drastically different than what we can envision, we will have a struggle with it. Because we have an old nature.
That's right.
We have a sin nature. We got a new nature in Jesus Christ. When we got saved, he gave us an additional nature, a new nature. But that old nature is still there, still part of this body, this earthly life. Now when we die and go to heaven and live for eternity, that old nature will not be a part of us, but it is now. It's why you struggle doing right. This part of you knows it's wrong, but this part of you knows what you should do. But there's this battle going on inside. Paul, in the book of Romans, the end of chapter 7, he talked about this. He said, the things I would, I do not, and the things that I would not, them I do. And he describes himself as a wretched man. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from this struggle that goes on? Well, it's the whole, you go into the next chapter, chapter 8, and it introduces the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that was received with this new nature. And so we need to yield. And when we yield our will to God's will, we'll begin to find answers to prayer. And we'll begin to realize that his way is best. And then we move into the letter E, P-R-A-Y-E, evangelizing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's in the book of James, James chapter 5 and verse 16. Now he goes along and he gives us several things. Verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any? You see, God likes to hear from us when we're happy. God likes to hear from us when things are going well, not just when we're having troubles.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? there, you know, there's some people that you may know that the only time you interact, they interact with you is when they're having troubles. And, you know, the people like that drain. They drain you, okay? And because you're always needing to minister to them, to serve them, to help them, to help them. It's all about them, okay? And and so God needs to hear from us when we're happy, when things are going well. And boy, there's where the thanksgiving abounds, you see. We're able to thank him for so much. And boy, thank you, Lord, that I haven't had any trouble with my car for 2 weeks now. It's been running well. Thank you for that. And thanks for the help you gave me when it wasn't. And whatever, you know. Ladies working in the kitchen and you need a new stove, but you know, you're not able to get it right now. And so you thank the Lord that the one you have is still working.
Amen.
Okay? And Lord, thanks. All the burners are working right now. And thank you for that. And thank you for Raji when he looked at it and fixed it. You say, Raji, yeah, that's one of Pat's names for me. Okay? And so, you know, you'll thank God for the good things. You'll thank God for people who have helped you with things. And so we need to pray even when things are going well. And then verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church, let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We pray for illness, for sickness. And then verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and we have more there. Physical needs consume so much of our life. And sometimes that troubles me until I'm sick. It doesn't trouble me to be so consumed. You know, the physical part of our life is just such a big part. I mean, let's face it, we wouldn't have the life we know if we didn't have the physical. Huh? Duh, of course, you know. That's the way it is. And so the physical part of our life consumes so much. Now, it concerns me when out of 10 prayer requests on a Wednesday night, 8 of them are for physical things. And then the other 2 are probably financial. Now, praise the Lord, there's frequently times when we will hear somebody request prayer either for themselves or for a situation they know of and from the spiritual dimension. God, give me patience. Lord, help me to understand what is taking place. And so some of these non-physical, non-material things, it's important to pray for them. And so, but the evangelizing, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Now, when it says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man, there's a condition. It must be a righteous man. Now, that doesn't mean that an unanswered prayer is because or is proof of you not being righteous. First level there, I believe, of the righteousness is talking about the fact that we need to be right with God. It's a saved person. Only a saved person can be called righteous. But I do believe there's a second level of understanding with the verse and righteous, meaning that even though I may be saved, if I'm not submitted to the Lord, if I'm not living for him, if I'm off doing my own happy thing and not bothering with him, and then a problem comes along and I pray, well, I'm not going to get an answer. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not, you know, well, I'm saved. Well, that's good. But if you're not living righteously, you see, a condition of being righteous is salvation. The living righteously is that we're submitted to the Lord, following him. And that's important because God isn't just a bellhop over here to pick up our suitcases of burdens and problems and take care of them. He's there to be our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. All right, the last one, last letter is R, prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, and that is rejoicing. In John chapter 16 and verse 24, John 16 and verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants to answer our prayers. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be pleased. Now, the goal in life is not just to be happy, it's to be righteous. But in the achieving of righteous living, it will bring satisfaction, contentment, joy, happiness, various words you can use to describe it. And rejoicing comes, you can anticipate something. Now, Christmas time, I want to say for children, but even for me, the anticipation of Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, depending on when you have your family time with the presents. The anticipation, you know, the anticipation many times is as big as the actual event and getting the thing. Just try and think back if you're older, okay? and some of you don't have to think very far, because you, even as an adult, you have that same anticipation factor. It's exciting. And when God's going to answer prayer, we should anticipate joy about it too. Well, I pray, but I don't know if God will answer it. And if he answers, I'm not sure what the answer will be. That's not anticipating with joy. That's, as a matter of fact, undermining the praying. And then we must praise the Lord after our prayer is answered. Anticipate it with joy, not blues and whining and woe is me. Anticipate it with joy, and then when we get the answer, whatever that answer has been, we are to be thankful and praise him for it. God answers prayer. One last verse, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Now, this is a situation in which the eternal blessings for Israel in the new earth is spoken of. And this verse I'm going to read is specifically about Israel in that end time experience. But it shows to us an insight to God. You see, it's not what you call an interpretation of this verse. It's an application. We can take that principle of God and know that because he works that way in this situation, it's possible for him to work that way in others. All right, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. In other words, even as you're praying,
Amen.
God's beginning to answer that prayer. And like I say, this is a specific situation of the New Jerusalem, but nevertheless, we see God can work that way. And that can give us confidence in praying, can't it? When we know that even while we're praying, God's already beginning to put together the answer. Father in heaven, help us to be faithful in prayer. Thank you for hearing us when we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother, before everybody goes, I'm just going to, backing up what you said, I was talking to Brother McVeigh yesterday, and he talked about a preacher who was going to go to a couple churches he knew, and each church asked him about that preacher. And he told him, well, I don't know anything about the man. And he asked the Lord, would you show me they're asking? And within 5 minutes of that prayer, he got a call from a pastor saying, there's a pastor broken down nearby you. Could you go help him?
Wow.
And it was that very man. Yeah. He spent 14 hours with the man. He had just asked the Lord, would you, you know, show me something about
him? Yeah, amen. That's good. Good illustration of our subject today. That's it, folks.
Things that as I walk along, all the implications, and we get those dates wrong, or maybe people come up with this. I was telling the Lord this morning, I said, you know, if I was Roger Haynes, those tickets would have been all over my walls.
It dawned on me, I could probably do that again.
Oh, okay.
I keep forgetting to tell you about it.
All right.
How about we start that when you get back from Italy?
That sounds like a good idea.
Since you won't be here next week, I'll do it.
I'm glad I made the 18th. I made bulletins.
I told Brother Ken that we'd give him as much time as possible, even trying maybe 15 or 20 after. I said I'd try to keep you down to an hour and a half on announcements.
I've got full bills for next week's and the week after.
Okay.
So I've already made the bulletins up last
week. We'll do that.
So I'll come in here to do this once you're back.
That's right.
Very good. Oh, sure. Thank you.
I don't know what to tell you.
Pastor. Still recording here.